May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love romantic comedy movies if they have happy endings. I'm a Kingdom of God guy, so I'm a happy ending kind of person anyway. And I love Tom Cruise and Meg Ryan, is that her name? Movies. So one of my favorites is Sleepless in Seattle. One of my favorite parts about the movie Sleepless in Seattle is, if you've never seen that movie, if you remember seeing the movie, his wife had died earlier, kind of had the perfect marriage, though he was still young. And in describing to this radio talk show about what was so perfect about that marriage, he said, well, it's like the first time I ever saw her, I touched her hand, and it was like, and then there's this like pause, and he goes, magic. And that line's repeated over and over again through the movie as kind of like the plumb line or the measuring stick for what like true love is, that it's like at the very first it's like magic. I think that's why I had Father Ron read that passage of scripture. We're talking about resurrection things. That doesn't seem to be a resurrection verse, but I believe it has a resurrection reality. Because in that scripture, it talks about John leaning his head on the breast of Christ. And just before that, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. And that's the first time he ever describes himself that way. And after that, the four next times he refers to himself in those last few chapters of John, he always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus is always loving. And in Revelation, when he's 93 years old, and he writes in the early part of Revelation, he talks about Jesus who's always loving us. So something happened to him that in that encounter, and I believe that encounter was when he laid his head on the breast of Christ, and CTKers, you've heard me say this before, I believe that he heard more than the physical heartbeat of Jesus. I believe he encountered the heart of Christ. And that's why he was the only disciple that stood at the foot of the cross. He knew how much Jesus loved him. He knew how far the love of Christ would take him. It totally transformed him, and it changed his identity. His encounter with the love of Christ caused him to refer to himself from that point forward as a disciple whom Jesus is always loving. And he became known as the beloved disciple, John the Beloved. But that wasn't always true about John. When people think about John, they think of him like that all the time, but he's referred to, he and his brother James, as sons of thunder early, like in Mark chapter 3. That was their nickname, sons of thunder. And there's a place in like Matthew 20, and if you put Matthew 20 together with one of the other gospel lessons, what basically happened, Jesus is talking about the fact that he's going to die and be crucified. And in the midst of that conversation, John and James come up to him and say, oh, by the way, we want you to do whatever we ask. And he says, well, what would that be? He says, we want to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's real sensitive and spiritual. Jesus just says he's going to be crucified, and they're saying, what we want to know is what we're going to get out of this. And if you put the Matthew 20 passages together, evidently, Jesus doesn't give them the right answer. And so their mother comes to him and says, well, then, yeah. And history kind of tells us that she may have been one of the donors to the ministry, kind of, because she and her husband were sort of well-to-do. Now, that's just so funny. And then there's another place, I think it's in Luke chapter 9, where James and John come to Jesus and say, we saw a guy casting demons out in your name, but they don't hang out with us. So we told them to stop. And Jesus said, if they're not against me, they're for me. Why would you tell them to stop? It's about people that they're setting free. And then right after that, in the very passage, Jesus sends some of his disciples into Samaria, because he's on the way to Jerusalem, to make provision for him. And when they get there, the Samaritans, who hate the Jews and hate Jerusalem, wouldn't do it, wouldn't make provision for Jesus, wouldn't create a place for him. James and John comes back and tells Jesus about that. They said, well, would you like for us to command fire to come down on their heads? Doesn't sound like John the Beloved to me. But something happened to him that changed his identity, changed his understanding. And I believe it happened because I don't think scriptures are ever just happenstance. That's the first time he refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus is always loving. And if you remember in John 21, when Peter, who thinks he's the whole world's gone to hell in a handbasket because he denied Christ and he can never be used again, and he's in a boat and they're trying to catch fish and they can't catch any fish. All night long they've been trying to catch fish. And then somebody on the shore who they don't recognize, who's like got a fire going, tells them to cast that on the right side of the boat, and they do and catch this big haul. Well, that's how Peter got called, his calling. And John's the one who said, it's the Lord, reaffirming to Peter that he loved him. And then he goes on and tells him, feed my sheep, you know, even though he had failed. John understood forgiveness. When he encountered the love of Christ, it was magic. And he understood how fiercely, how intensely, and how unconditionally the love of Christ was. He understood his own brokenness. The stories I've just told you, you know, can we command fire down their heads? That on his head, on the breast of Christ, he experienced how forgiving, again, and how unconditional the love of Jesus was. And it wrecked his life. He was never the same. Again, it changed his whole perspective of reality and who he was. If you ever really encounter the love of Jesus, it's magic. It changes you forever. Not just sing about it, hear about it, but I mean, if you personally have encountered his love, it's transformational. And here's the connection to the resurrection. If you remember all the gospel lessons and how all the apostles struggled believing, but in the John passage, John 20, listen to this. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, listen, whom Jesus is always loving. And now he puts this here intentionally. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they've laid him. So she's confused. She's not thinking resurrection yet. She will. We'll talk about that some Sunday. And Peter therefore went forth. But I love this. But the other disciple, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And verse 4, look what he puts here intentionally. And the two were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter. Because he came to the tomb first, stooping in, looking in. He saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter therefore also came, following him, entered the tomb, beheld the linen wrappings lying there, the face cloth which had been on his head lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then entered in therefore the other disciple, talking about John, who had first come to the tomb, and he saw and believed. He was the first one to believe. Peter didn't yet believe. Plus, he's filled with guilt and fear and shame. But John saw and believed. Why? Because he already believed in magic. He had encountered it, and I mean that in a holy way, okay? Don't get Pentecostal and judge me for using that word, okay? I mean that spiritual, holy, miraculous stuff. Narnia things. He had already encountered that, and it had transformed him. And so when he walked and he saw and he loved, he thought, oh, magic. He believed. See, to be a believer, I don't mean that you signed up. I don't just mean you prayed the Baptist bar mitzvah and asked Jesus to come into your heart. I mean you're living by faith. You have to believe in magic. The resurrection just transforms us there, but a good starter is encountering the love of Jesus. It sets you up to believe in magic. Faith, it says in Galatians, works through what? Love. name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.